7, and I'm going to do a little bit of something different today. And I was doing a clip this week, and a clip on the, got into this a little bit, and I did a clip, and I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and do a deal on that. And I'm going to do that this morning, and we'll probably all get out earlier than usual. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I knew I'd get a shout. Come on, Don, shout, man. I mean, I'll get that, you know. I want to tell y'all something. That's right. Hey, when the children of Israel was marching around Jericho, what did they do at the end? They shouted. Now, I want to tell you, shouting's scriptural. Well, I just broke, everything's going wrong this morning. Just broke that. But we'll put that in there. Okay. Anyway, I could make a lot of jokes about the virus, but I'm sick of hearing about the virus. Boy. I'll tell you what, we have a brother back there that has been welcoming people into the auditorium this morning. And I, by the way, I'm happy and thankful that all of you came that did come. And all that's listening, we understand. But he told somebody, and I'm going to tell on him, he said, I'm not worried about shaking people's hands that I'll get coronavirus. I'm just concerned about shaking hands of people that ain't got no toilet paper. Amen. And Zach wanted me to run an ad. He got back and he wanted me to run an ad for Earth Outdoor up there that if you buy 5 rolls of toilet paper for $589, you get a free AR-15 rifle with your 5 rolls of toilet paper. And Danny had the best idea, but he didn't get it to me in time. He said, Reggie, if you would have announced today all who attend church will get a free roll of toilet paper, we would have had people lined up back to the bridge trying to get into church today. But Danny, you should have got that to me a lot quicker, okay? All right. We want to have some fun if we can get this up. Nothing is working. Doesn't seem like, anyway. We'll try to get that working pretty soon. But 1 John chapter 5, number 7. Let me just say this in way of introduction. Write this down in your Bible somewhere near this. That it's got a little ring to it. If this verse is not in the Bible, in your Bible, you don't have a Bible.
That's right.
Amen. And there's no other Bible in the world that this verse is in. And I don't totally understand it other than I know that this is the clip hint, this is the clinch verse for the deity of Christ in the Bible, one of them, and also for the triune Godhead. This verse is not in all false Bibles, which are all false except your authorized version. It's still got a ring in it. Boy, take that ring out if you please can. I'd really appreciate it. Did we get it going? Don't know yet. Okay. Is there anything I can do to help? Do what? Don't push no buttons. Okay. We'll just kind of take our time here and see if we can get that up. But I want to read that verse. We still got, there's, I don't know what it is. Boy, is anybody else here in the ring besides me? Is it just in the monitors? Must be in the monitors up there. Oh, flowers. That's pretty. There we go. Not what I'm doing, but it's pretty. Amen. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Bible here is telling us about the triune nature of God. And he's telling us that these three are one. And again, if this verse is not like that, if this verse has been messed with, there's Bibles even that totally take the whole verse out and encompass two verses into one. And I'm not going to go into those. But this is the clinch verse. If this verse is not like that in your Bible, you don't have a Bible. So always use that as a mark bench. And why? I can just say this much to you. I know Satan hates that verse or he wouldn't be there. There we are. Let's see if it works a little bit here. Oh, my goodness, it works. Boy, Joel, you're a miracle worker. Amen. We're just going to do a little Bible study on the number 3. And I'm going to say this in relationship to what I'm doing. One of the reasons I got into this, like I said, I'm constantly trying to think of ways when you're reaching out, especially on social media, to get people to think about God and to show them the reality of God. And I did a deal the other day on the image of God, and this will just be an extension of that. But this is a verse that teaches the triune nature of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Word in that passage of Scripture is in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And then it takes you right on through, and you learn very quickly that the Word, capital W, is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He is the second person of the Godhead there. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day that You've given us. I pray, Lord, today that You'd bless this message to the hearts of these people. I pray, God, that You'd help me to be yielded and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And I pray You'd fill me and guide everything that I say. Keep me from saying stuff that don't need to be said. And help me to say what You do want said. And I pray, give people a listening heart and a listening ear. In Jesus' name, for Your glory's sake, amen. All right, we're going to be looking today at the number 3 in the Bible. And I'm going to say this on May the 3rd. You might want to write this down. On May the 3rd, Brother Mike Hoggard is coming here. He'll be here for the Sunday school hour, the preaching hour, and the evening hour. And he's going to be doing 2 things that he has done here before, but there's a great need for this, and I think we have. He's going to do that. One of the things he's going to do is be teaching on why the Authorized Version Bible is the Word of God. He's going to be dealing with this, and it'll be a strong deal. There'll be a lot of deep meat on this. Be ready for that. And then he's going to do a complete message on numerics in Scripture. I'm not sure which is morning, which is night. And he's going to do a Sunday school. That's on May the 3rd. He'll be here. And we're just going to do that for the community and for ourselves to reinforce things you already know. But we need to have a reason for the hope that lieth within us. And if you've never heard some of his presentations on this, I would sure be here. And invite your friends, your neighbors that day. Have them over for dinner. Do all that kind of stuff. And let's pack this place out. And let's help people come to a saving knowledge of Christ and get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. All right, so we're looking at the number of God. We looked at this 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7 today. The number 3 is the number of God. It's the number of divinity, the triune number. There are people in the world, now the Jewish people, by and large, do not believe in the Trinity. And that they have a problem with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And yet the Old Testament talks about the Son of God in a couple of places. Now, we're going to be looking at it here, but first of all, God in Scripture is revealed as being omniscient. That means all-knowing, omnipresent. He's should be all-present. I missed that one there. But it's omniscient. That means all-knowing, omnipresent. It means He's present everywhere, and omnipotent means that God's all-powerful. That is the threefold nature of God in that sense there. And so He's 3 like that. This is our verse that we started with. There are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These 3 are 1. That is not in any false Bible. Now, again, we're looking at the number 3 in the Bible, biblical numerics. And remember that your math teacher, if she told you right or he told you right, numbers don't lie. In creation, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, watch this, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. 3 times you see where God says us, our, and our. There's 3 mentions of that. Now, there are people who try to tell you that the our there or us is God's talking about him and the angels. That's not true. Angels did not create man. God is letting us know in the first chapter of the Bible his nature and that he's a triune God. Let us, and he puts it in there, an hour, and there's 3 times that that's in there. Matthew 8:28-19, Jesus further confirms it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now you have groups out there called the Apostolic Oneness people, and they do not believe in the triune God. Jehovah Witnesses do not believe in a triune God, and there's other out there. But I'm telling you, listen, you have to accept this fact by faith. I'll be honest with you, you can use, there's all kinds of illustrations. They've used three-leaf clovers, and they use the egg, and they use all kinds of things. But none of that will answer the question to your heart satisfactorily, except you need to look at something that we'll look at here in just a little bit. Now, God created man created us in the image, in his image. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, now watch this. And by the way, this fits our Sunday school lesson where we're to start with our spirit, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God lists that we're a triune being. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. We are created in the image of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Watch this. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. That's the body. God is telling us we're a triune being. Okay, we're a triune being created in the image of God. Now, in Romans chapter 1, he says that there's some things that are clearly seen. Clearly seen. Because that which may be known of God is manifest where? In them. God says that which may be known of God is manifest where? In them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, the things that God made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. By the way, that's the structure, that's the sequence that will happen when a person rejects God, turns away from God. And by the way, you don't have to be lost for this to happen. To the degree, and God deals with sinners in judgment. He deals with his children in chastisement. And I want to tell you something. If you turn away from the truth that God gives you, even as a Christian, there'll be a sequence of events happen to your life. It's there. But this basically is talking about lost people. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They weren't thankful. They came vain, emptying their imaginations. In other words, they decided they would write their own Bible for their own mind. And their foolish heart then was darkened, and that's why you wonder, what's wrong with these people? Does anybody know what's wrong in America when we look at progressivism, socialist, liberals, and a lot of this stuff? And it's not just them, but your secular humanists and all this stuff. What's wrong with them? Their hearts are darkened because they turned away from God. How did that happen? It happened when we began to teach evolution, and we rejected God, turned away from God. Then this sequence kicked into our culture. And by the way, if you take Romans chapter 1, this is going to be exciting. Here in a few weeks, I'm hoping, when I get done with 2 Corinthians, we're going to take off through the book of Romans. And I promise you, it's going to be one of the most exciting. I'm going to do it during preaching hour, not during Sunday school hour. But anyway, let's go ahead here. So God said that his creative act was manifest in them. And here it is. He said, where? In your body. Your body has three sections. You have a head, you have a torso, and you have legs. Three. In your arms, there's three joints. Shoulder, elbow, wrist. In your fingers, there's three joints. Right here, here, and here. In your legs, there's three. One, two, ankles, three. In your toes, there's three joints in your toes. I'd check that out because mine just looked like they had two. But there's three. Okay? Now I want to tell you something, folks. When you're doubting, when you're wondering, go back to this. Because God put this in the Bible and God put it in nature for you and I to clearly see that we're created in the image of God. So think about this for a second. We have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a body. We're a triune person, but we're what? We're one person that's created in the image of God. God put threes all through the way that you were built, the way your body was put together. Your legs, toes, fingers and arms, and even your basic body is set up in sections of three. The Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that you're the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Back in the Old Testament, they had the tabernacle, and then they eventually built the temple. God says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? What was the tabernacle like? The tabernacle had an inner place that was a cube. And by the way, this gets wild. Did you know it takes three to where you can box anything in? See, if it's just two, it's all parallel. You can't box it in. But when you put the third dimension in, it becomes a form. And that most holy place was a square cube, and it represents your spirit. Now, I'm telling you, if you didn't get the Sunday school lesson, as far as I'm concerned, the Sunday school lesson that we've been doing about salvation, how God, Jesus told Nicodemus, you have to be born again of the Spirit. And I'm going to say to everybody in here today, and I beg you, please listen to me. This was what was wrong with Reg Kelly till I got saved. I was religious, and around the right people, I would act the way I thought you're supposed to act, the externals. I could even talk the way I thought I was supposed to talk. The world and religion will have you going from your outer person trying to work down to your spirit. But God works from your spirit through your soul, and it'll manifest itself out in your body. And what God is, and the most holy place is where God dwelt. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was at, and the glory of God was at. That's where God's presence was. And that's where God's presence is at, is in your spirit. When He saved you, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. When God saved you, He created a new man born of the Holy Spirit, and He dwells in your spirit. And it's just like the tabernacle. God dwells within the saved person's spirit. The person who is not lost, the person who is not saved and lost, does not have God in their spirit. They may be religious in their soul and their body. This is what's going on with contemporary worship. Contemporary worship is all based in soul and body, not the spirit. But what your Bible says, Jesus said, they that worship God must, you don't have an option about this, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, it's going to be by the Holy Ghost within you, and the truth is right here, and it's going to be according to the Word of God. And if worship is not according to the Word of God, and it's not from the Spirit, it's not worship that's acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here's what happens. From the Spirit, it works its way out into our soul, and then into our body, and determines our life. And it will determine the way we live. And the Spirit of God within us, as we read the Word of God, will affect how we think, it'll affect our emotions, and it will especially affect our will. Now, I want you to think about this. If a man is saved, the Spirit of God within him will affect your mind. Your mind will be renewed by this book, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your will be affected. You will want to do what God says to do. And when you sin, that it'll grieve you. The Holy Spirit grieves. And again, it's a work from the inner person out. We said this morning in Bible class that the problem with religion, and I've been guilty of this, and we want to see the externals. We want the externals. Well, our kids, we want our kids to look right and act right and talk right. And if we're not careful, it's all about what we want other people to see or just to satisfy our own pride. God is not that way. God isn't wanting a bunch of people dressed up on the outside and acting saved. He wants people that are genuinely saved from the inner. And I want to ask you this as well. Now, I beg you to think about it. It won't hurt you. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Ask yourself, have I been born again of the Spirit of God, or am I just a carved out religious figure? I just know how to pray. I know what to say. I know what's expected of me, you know. And so my whole religious world is external, not internal. And I'm going to tell you, parents, this is where it's at. I'm going to tell you, every person in here, this is where it's at. This is why people are going to be shocked when they die, or shocked when the Lord comes, that they weren't saved. Because they looked around them, the church, the preacher said, oh, you're supposed to dress like this and look like this and act like this and everything. And they thought it was all externals. And that if my externals are okay, I'm okay. It won't work. And all it'll do is produce hypocrisy and rebellion. The spirit will affect the soul, the mind, and the will, and the emotion. And again, I'm just going to say it again because it hits me so hard right now with this virus deal going on. I just be honest with you. I can say with a clear conscience, I'm not worried. And if I lived in a big city, I wouldn't be worrying about it. I would use reasonable caution. I'm not going to be, That's letting your emotions be driven by something other than faith in Christ. And it's not right. And it won't give you peace. And I'm just saying that, by the way, this mind, will, and emotion in here, it'll protect you from being what I call being carried with the tide of the culture. I want to give you something. This is where you really need to get a hold of. We've got to get a hold of this. If you let your emotions carry you away, the first girl that looks pretty to you or that you kind of get attracted to you, and you're not controlled by your spirit and you're controlled by your emotions, or girls, the first guy that pays attention to you and he ain't worth a flip, and your emotions rule you, they're dominant in you, and it's not your spirit ruling and dominant, and you don't have that power in your spirit. One of the ways you can really check this out is ask yourself this honest question today. What rules me? Is it my spirit that's been born again of God? Or is it my soul, my emotions, and my will, and my thoughts? Because a saved person will be ruled from the Spirit of God within him, quickened by the Spirit of God, that will affect his mind, what he knows is right, what he knows is wrong, and his will, what he wants to do and doesn't. I'm going to tell you flat out truth. I was tempted this week. You know, it's bad to say this, but I think there needs to be some freedom about it. I don't know how old you'd have to live not to be tempted. How old do you have to get to you're not tempted anymore? Does anybody know? Huh? Think to you're dead. Just to put it, I was tempted this week to my mind and my will to go off. And you know, just quick as it happening, it's going on in my head. And so I just immediately start, you know, first thing comes, Reggie, that's not right. That's no good. That's wicked, Reggie. That's sinful. And then the verse comes to me, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. So I started praying. And the idea about watching is to watch and say, you know, what will this do to me? What will it do to, what would do to those I love? What if the church knew what was going through my mind right now? How would it hurt them and damage them? And I'll be honest with you, in just about 4 to 5 minutes, I had victory. Okay? Now, how did that victory come? And I've had lots of failures, but I'm just saying that happened this week, literally. And by the way, I'll just say further, I talked to a man this week who was more honest than me, and he told me the area he was tempted in. And he said, Reggie, I had some trouble. You know, and he said, I had to get with God, had to get with someone I love, and get some things fixed, you know, to ever have the victory in it, to get over it, get past it. Now, but here's what I'm saying. When you're saved, it doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted, and it doesn't mean that you'll always have victory, but your victory will be dependent upon how your spirit is affecting the Spirit of God, which is going to be working through the Word of God. That's why if you're not reading your Bible, you're going to be in trouble. It's just that it's just like if you don't eat and you don't drink water, you're not going to last long, and you're going to get very weak and susceptible to diseases. If you don't eat the Word of God, daily bread, drink the water of life, water of God, you're going to get very susceptible to temptation and problems. So again, I know I'm hammering this, but this is critical in our creation, in the way God created us. Our spirit needs to be dominant, most holy. The most important part of you is your spirit. It will affect your will and your emotions. And that's why I challenge you. Number one, make sure you've been born again in the Spirit of God. Number two, if you have been born in the Spirit of God, make sure that your spirit is the strongest part of who you are. The Bible literally says, be strong in spirit. Okay? Now, if we're saved and the Spirit of God is controlling our emotions and our will and so forth there, our mind, it is going to affect the outer court, the body. Okay? To be honest about it, this is where I'm headed. I would like to see our church be so dominant with the spirit and the spirit affecting the soul so much that there would not even be a need to talk about how to dress and what entertainments to watch. It would be so automatic by being controlled from our spirit and our soul that you don't even get up and preach on a bunch of junk like that. Did you know the fact that a preacher has to get up and preach on externals is the evidence that there's not much going on internally. And that's where the Lord's leading me as an individual and as a pastor. I just want y'all to know it. And so if you say, man, when are you going to get off this deal about letting God work in your spirit? Probably not from the time Jesus comes. I'm going to inculcate it in everything I preach and everything I'm doing, because I'm sick of seeing kids grow up in Christian homes blow out because it was all external. I'm sick of it. And I am done. Not that I've ever meant to. I didn't mean to. God knows that. And I don't think there's a set of parents in this church that ever meant for that to happen. But I just think we've got to have a more emphasis on the spirit. And if that spirit's right, it will affect the soul, the mind, the will, and emotions, which is just part of the soul, and the effect of part of the soul, and that will affect the externals of our life. And I think life will get real simple and a blessing. And, you know, the fruit of the Spirit will be there, the love and the joy and the peace. Is everybody with me? Is this making sense?
Yeah.
This is where we're headed. All right, now, Satan is a great imitator. Three in Satan and spiritual warfare. Satan is an imitator. In the book of Revelation, he is portrayed as the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. That's his father. I didn't catch it. If that's my fault. As a dragon, he's the anti-God of the Father. As the beast, he's the anti-Christ of the Son. And the false prophet, he's the anti-Christ of the anti-Holy Spirit. Now, here's the deal. Everything that God does, Satan's got an imitation for it. He has an imitation salvation, and it's external junk. It's put on. It's hypocrisy. Don't let him do it to you. It'll take you to hell. The last and most forceful warning in Scripture, Revelation 22:18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets in this book, that if any man shall add unto these things. Now remember the verse we started out, we said 1 John 5:7, and it teaches the triune Godhead and the oneness of God, and that's the verse that every false Bible attacks. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Wait a minute. Did you catch a word there? Plagues. That's what we're going through right now used to be called. That's what the Bible calls what's going on in our nation and in the world. Plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away, so now watch this, add and take away from the words, not the general thoughts, not the general ideas, not the themes, not the doctrines, but the words. Words. If any man take away words of the book of this prophet, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. That's the last and that's the most forceful warning in Scripture. Now, the book of life, that's a whole other subject study, and maybe we can do that sometime. I'd like to show you every verse in the Bible where it talks about your name, the book of life, all that. And if you look at everything the Bible has to say about it, you'll understand it. But if you don't, it'll mess you up every time. You got to write it about the word of truth and study the Bible. Now, watch this in relationship to the last thing in the book of Revelation. Genesis chapter 3, there is a threefold corruption of the word of God. Satan's an imitator. He has a false trinity. And I want you to take your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, and I want you to see what he's doing. Now you say, Reggie, why are you talking about Satan and his triune? Can I tell you this? You just study what Satan's doing, and it'll prove to you that what God has said is true. He wouldn't go after it if it wasn't true. He goes after truth. The liar goes after truth. So in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse number 16, if you read it carefully, God said, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat. Okay, fine. No problem. That's in verse 16, right? Is that what it says in your Bible? The last part of that verse, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now, when you come into Genesis chapter 3, Satan has come on the scene. And he is going to try to get man to sin and mess up and ruin man. And when you get into verse number 2, this is the big discussion about chapter 2, verse 16, what God had told Eve. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the free of, eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, watch this, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. What did she do? Eve took freely out of that what God said. So what is that doing? She, watch this. She took away. Now I'm doing this for a reason. People all over this country do not think it matters about the Bible. Which Bible you use. It mattered with Eve. Eve wrote a new version. And it plunged her into death. I'm telling you right now, folks, listen to me. We're living in a time of apostasy, and I don't care how slick and how good they talk, and I don't care how nice they talk, these false Bibles is going to lead this nation and lead the people away from God, and it's going to put the curse of God on this land and our families. And you say, Reggie, I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, this is Bible. This is not Reggie's idea. This is the flat truth. God said, you may freely eat of it. Eve took freely out of it. And I watch what she watch the result of what she was doing. That cast doubt and challenged the grace and the goodness of God. How many knows what salvation is? What does salvation cost you? Does the Bible not call it a free gift? Do you see what he attacked? He attacked the freeness of salvation. And that's where all your false religions head to. Oh, yes, Jesus died, and yes, you've got to believe on Jesus, but you've got to do this and do this. And if you don't live up to this expectation, you might not make it in the end. You're going to have to earn your way to heaven and merit your way to heaven. It's not really free. And that's a lie. I'm going to tell you right now, salvation is free. And that's the first thing the devil took out of the Bible was that it's free. Second thing she added too. Look at your Bible in Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. From the day thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. When you get to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 3, Eve added, and remember Revelation 22 said, don't add, neither shall ye touch it. God had never said that. God did not say that. She added that to the Word of God. So now what is she doing? She's taken away from the Word of God. Now she's added to it. And look what the effect of it was. Now this is critical. I want every person in this building, look at this. Satan has done this to me. Make God look more severe than He is. Taking away the goodness of God, the mercy of God, and the love of God, that God wants to love you and forgive you and be good to you and give you grace. Make God out to be some big mean somebody up in the sky that's going to beat your head in if you do something wrong and that you can't be forgiven. And He's just a severe, judgmental God. I'm going to tell you, it's serious business. Because if a person doesn't have hope of forgiveness, is anybody in here like me? If you take away my hope of forgiveness, I'm gone. I'm shot. Amen. So now she's done both the things that Revelation 22 says don't do. She's writing her a new Bible. And it cost her. It shot the whole universe into sin. Now this is pretty, this in here is wild. There's a third thing she did, and this is not accidental. There's three things she did, not just two, because three, remember, is the number of God, and it's God's Word, okay? And he is attacking what? The Word of God. Genesis 2:17, God said, thou shalt, watch this, surely die. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 3. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it. And she altered it. She said, lest ye die, and not ye shall surely die. Now here's this is dangerous, dangerous stuff. There's a big difference between you might die, lest you die, and saying you'll surely die. And here's what she did. She weakened the divine judgment on disobedience. And this is what gets people in trouble. They think, I can do it and get by. God doesn't mean what he says. He won't really send people to hell. Do you know how many people believe that across the globe? That God's a good God. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. He won't send me to hell. And I'm going to tell you something. You can apply this to your Christian life. Well, I can do this and it won't cost me. God won't chastise me. Ask David. Ask Samson. Ask Lot. I'm telling you, sin. When God says you will reap what you sow, and he executes the law of sowing and reaping, I don't have to ask you about your experiences. I could write a book on what I have reaped in chastisement from what I've sown. I don't have to ask you about it. This book is true. You will reap everything you've sown. Now, you can also reap good. So you can sow good seed, and you can reap good seed, and you will. But I'm promising you, what Satan will do in your mind, He will weaken divine judgment on disobedience and make you think, it won't be that bad. It won't cost that much. It won't affect my life that bad, but it will. We've got to run. It's almost 12 o'clock. It is 12 o'clock. Genesis 3:1, here's the whole thing. Before any of this happened, this discussion was, Satan said this statement, yea, hath God said. That's the first thing out of the mouth of the devil in the Bible. And that's what brought ruin. So here's what I'm trying to get across to you this morning. By the number 3, understand that Satan is very, very involved in the number 3 because he knows it's the number of God, God's omnipotence, God's all-powerful, God's all-present, and he will imitate there. And he will supersede his false word over God's true word and make you make your own Bible up to suit your own world and your own ideas and bring you to destruction by that process. That's how he always works. I'm going to tell you now, that's why he doesn't want you reading your Bible. He doesn't want you having the discipline of reading your Bible, studying your Bible, writing the divine word of truth, and getting into it. In Matthew 4:11, watch this. The last Adam, which is Jesus Christ, overcame and conquered Satan's threefold temptation. Satan again corrupted and twisted the word of God. That's in Matthew chapter 4. How many times did Satan tempt Jesus in Matthew chapter 4? 3 times. And here's the victory. Jesus conquered as we can and will when he quoted, it is written. Jesus did not monkey with the word of God like Eve did. It is written. It is written. She's just started making stuff up. And if you just start making stuff up in your spiritual walk with God and just your own ideas, you'll get messed up. Temptations are threefold. Genesis 3, Matthew 4, 1 John 2:16. This is all the way through the Bible. Number 3, the Spirit. And here's going back to this created image of God. Here's how the temptations work. He will tempt your spirit by making, he told Eve, it'll make you wise. That feeds the pride of life. In 1 John 2:16, said there's 3 things, pride of life, lust of the eye, and lust of the flesh. Those are the 3 areas of temptation every person will find. He's tempting your soul, make one wise, pride of life, tempt your spirit, tempt your soul, pleasant to the eyes, and the lust of the eye. Body, good for food, lust of the flesh. And every temptation will run in that sequence right there. And those are the 3 big passages on temptation in the Bible. Genesis 3, Matthew chapter 4, that was Eve, that was Christ, and this is to the saint. And so God is teaching us, he said, here's how you can expect the attack. Here's where it's going to attack you, your spirit, in your soul, and your body, and you can expect this, so get prepared for it, and here's your weapon to overcome it with. It is written. Don't, and here's the big message about it. Don't mess around with people's ideas and listening to Reggie and listening to this and listening to that. Get in your book and know what the Bible says and use it as the sword of the Spirit against these things, and you'll live in victory. Here's some real quick stuff we're going to go through and let you out. Miscellaneous biblical information on the number three. Man's three great enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's three of them. There's three divisions of time, past, present, future. Who created this world? God did. God put past, present, future in it. Matter has three kingdoms, mineral, vegetable, animals, gas, liquid, solids. Human capacity, you have the ability to think and speak and do. We're created in the image of God. God's just got it written. It's clearly seen if we just look at it. In this world, there's length, breadth, and height. In the Bible, I believe it's three times, you see holy, holy, holy. It's connected to resurrection. On the third day of creation in Genesis 1:13, the dry land came up, appeared out of the water. It speaks of resurrection. Your plant life, your grass, your herbs and fruits come up. Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. Luke chapter 13, verse 32, Jesus told them, he said, on the third day I will be perfected. Jesus was crucified on the third hour. What's it telling you? What? What's all this telling you? He is God. Christ is Almighty God. That's what the numerics of Bible is telling you. 3 hours on the cross, there was darkness. Jesus raised three persons from the dead. Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, and the widow's son. There's three aspects of Jesus, a shepherd, good shepherd, in his death. John 10:14. Great shepherd in his resurrection, Hebrews 13. Chief shepherd in his glory, 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, three. And what's the number God stand for? What's the number three stand for? God. There's three appearings about God in Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 26, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 24, now to appear in the presence of God for us as our high priest. Verse 28, shall appear the second time as King of kings and Lord of lords. Why is this three appearances? He's God. He's trying to tell you over and over again, Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He said, Reggie, I believe all this. I'm just hoping your faith will be built by all this. You leave out of here saying, you know what? I didn't go to church for nothing this morning. What we believe and practice is real. Did I miss one? Okay, there we go. Watch this here. This is wild. In Exodus chapter 5, Moses told Pharaoh he wanted to go on 3 days journey in the wilderness. And he said, let us go. We'll pray 3 days journey in the desert, sacrifice the Lord our God. Watch this. 3 days journey in the desert, sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Lest, watch this, he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Separation. You ever heard of quarantine? You know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. If we had an attitude, what he's telling you is that in your relationship with God, God will require a separation from the world. If we want to be separated from sin as bad as we want to be separated from the coronavirus, we'd be in better shape. Amen. And whether you like it or not, God says that you're about the unclean and unclean. This is what I've been studying all week, about the clean and the unclean. If you don't really know about this stuff from a God's perspective, study the clean and the unclean, the Bible, and how you deal with it. And you're to separate from it. And the whole idea about, watch this, the whole idea is God saying, I want you to look at what's going on physically so you can understand how to live spiritually. And you do not, I'm going to tell you something. You can't watch pornography and be clean. You can't sit around and listen to dirty, filthy, nasty jokes all day and be clean. You can't be involved in all the worldly garbage and sin and meth and be clean. You'll get infected. 3 days journey to what? To sacrifice the Lord. Separation from the world, 3 days. What's that mean? A resurrected life. God's saying, when I resurrect you in newness of life, I want you to be separated from the world. Watch this. The eighth day, the first day of the week, was the day of resurrection. Okay? That's the first day of the week. It's a number of new beginning. But if you take 3 and 5, which is grace and separation, you have 8. That's a new beginning. God will give you a new life, new way to live. But it involves grace and separation unto God. If you want to have a new life, just do the math. Divine 3 plus grace 5, 8. New resurrected life by divine grace. Number 5. Now, I'm going to say this is fun. It's just fact. Brother Mike Hager is good on numbers, Bible numbers. He's going to do a whole deal on this. And when I called him and talked to him, I said, Mike, I want you to do a teaching on, because he's real good with computers and all that stuff. And I said, Mike, I got one deal, because he and I don't agree on everything, okay? I don't know a preacher I agree on everything about. Don't even, me and Karen don't agree on everything. But I don't always hunt for stuff. I don't like to hunt for stuff I disagree with you on. I like to hunt for something I can agree on. And I said to him, I said, Mike, now me and you have a little difference on the number five. But I said, I think we've come together from the time we first met. Mike believes number five's emphasis is on death. I believe the emphasis is on grace. He believes he's got scriptures to back his up. I think I've got scriptures to back mine up. But here's what I've come to believe. I believe he's right and I believe I'm right. And on the phone, we discussed it. I said, Mike, here's what I believe. The number five stands for grace. But if grace is, watch this, rejected, the number five will come to speak of death. Because if you don't receive grace, you will have death. He said, we've got it. Because the fifth chapter in Genesis is the chapter where death is recorded. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And those who rejected God's grace have nothing left but death. So the number five, rejected, becomes the number of death. Watch this. There's 66 books in the Bible. That's 3 times 22. God wrote the Bible. If you don't think there's more to that, the Old Testament has 39 books, 3 times 13. And the last word in the Old Testament is curse. But God wrote the Bible. In the New Testament, there's 27 books. 9 is the number of Holy Spirit, life. 3 times 9, 27. God wrote the Bible. 3. The Old Testament has 3 basic divisions: the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus tells us that in Luke 24:44. Jesus is 1, 2, 3. The gospel is threefold: death, burial, resurrection, salvation, sanctification, glorification, going back to our class. Salvation is of God, said the Lord. Everybody asleep already? I didn't get you out early like I told you. Watch this in here. This is neat. There's 3 people resurrected in the Old Testament. Son of the widow Zarephath, son of the Shunammite woman, and Elisha. There's 3 individuals recorded resurrection in the Old Testament and 3 individuals in the New Testament. Number 3 plus 3 equals 6. You had 6 people resurrected, 3 in the Old, 3 in the New. Number 6 is the number of man and weakness. But there was a 7th person resurrected. His name is Jesus Christ. The first 6 died again. The number 7 lives forever. He's alive forevermore. Are you in the 7th person? Because if you're not in the 7th person, you're not saved. God is three. There is a God revealed by the number 3, and numbers don't let us stand. I just hope it built your faith up. Amen. I had fun studying on it and looking it up. And by the way, that's just about the start of it. There's all kinds of stuff that didn't even mention today. Love y'all. If you all shake hands and sneeze on each other, you can go home. Shake hands, somebody.